You know that feeling, right? You've poured hours into crafting something, building it piece by painstaking piece. You're convinced it's perfect, and then it just doesn't work.
Ugh, yeah, the worst.
Maybe it crashes, maybe it gives you gibberish, or maybe, and this is often the most frustrating, it just seems to work, but the results are subtly, infuriatingly wrong. In the world of software, this is that universal frustration of the bug. It feels like your program has developed a mind of its own, like speaking a language you definitely don't understand.
It really can feel that way.
So our mission today on The Deep Dive is to cut through some of that confusion. We're going to explore two fundamental, really hands-on techniques that are, well, indispensable for understanding what the program is actually thinking.
Okay.
We're talking about dry runs and trace tables. And these aren't just for coding, really. They're about honing a precise, logical way of thinking that applies far beyond just programming. It's like building a mental compiler.
Oh, I like that. A mental compiler.
Yeah, something that helps you anticipate errors before they even happen.
And that mental compiler is priceless, honestly. I've seen countless times how crucial it is to catch errors early in the software development process. Believe me, a problem identified and fixed during, say, the initial design phase can be anywhere from 50 to 200 times cheaper to fix than that exact same bug discovered later.
Wow, 50 to 200 times. That's huge.
It's huge. Once the software is built, tested, or worse, out in the hands of users, the cost, the reputation hit, the sheer effort involved in post-release fixes, it's just staggering. So these seemingly simple techniques we're discussing today, they're your frontline defense against those nightmare scenarios.
Okay, so let's unpack this then. What exactly are we battling when we debug something? It sounds a bit like we're trying to find invisible gremlins in the machine.
Ah, yeah, it can feel like that. Essentially, debugging is a systematic process of identifying and rectifying errors or bugs in software. And broadly, we can sort of categorize these errors into three main types.
Okay, three types.
First, you have syntax errors. Think of these like grammatical mistakes in, you know, English. They break the specific rules of the programming language itself.
Like forgetting a semicolon or something.
Exactly. Or misspelling a keyword like IF, or maybe forgetting the NDAF that goes with it. Your compiler or interpreter usually catches these for you. It'll often point you right to the line where you messed up. The program literally can't understand your instructions.
Got it. Like writing a sentence with no verb.
Precisely. It just doesn't compute. Second are execution errors, sometimes called runtime errors.
Okay.
These are problems that cause your program to stop or, well, crash while it's actually running. The program starts okay, it tries to do something, but then it hits an unexpected wall and just halts.
What kind of things cause that?
Oh, it could be anything from trying to divide a number by zero, which mathematically is just undefined, to the program maybe running out of available memory. The program starts, but then it just can't complete its task for some reason.
Right, hits a roadblock.
Exactly. But then we have the most subtle and, frankly, often the most challenging type, logic errors. You might also hear them called semantic errors.
Ah, these sound tricky.
They really are. With these, your code is grammatically correct, no syntax errors. It runs without crashing, no execution errors, but it simply doesn't do what you intended it to do.
So it runs but gives the wrong answer or does something weird.
Exactly that. It produces incorrect or unexpected output. The program thinks it's doing exactly what you told it to do, but what you told it to do wasn't actually what you meant it to do.
Like giving someone perfectly phrased directions, but to the wrong place.
That's a perfect analogy. And this is precisely where techniques like dry runs and trace tables become incredibly powerful tools, because they force you, step by step, to expose and understand these elusive logic errors.
Okay, so if logic errors are the sneaky ones hiding in plain sight, what's our first line of defense? I mean, we're not always leaping straight to complex tools, right?
No, not at all. Our first and often really effective line of defense is the dry run. It's probably the most informal yet still highly effective manual debugging technique out there.
Dry run.
The programmer quite literally acts as the computer. You execute each step of the program, or maybe pseudocode, by hand.
So you're literally just taking a piece of paper, maybe a pencil, and stepping through your code line by line, pretending you're the processor.
Exactly that. In practice, yeah, it's typically done very informally, often just with pencil and paper. You jot down the expected results or maybe the changing values variables at different points in the code.
Makes sense.
It's particularly useful for, say, shorter programs or specific sections of longer ones, where printing out the code and just examining it manually can quickly reveal issues.
And the values in slowing down.
That's the key thing. What's truly fascinating here, and why it's so powerful, is that it forces you to slow right down. It compels you to consider every single instruction precisely as a machine would. No assumptions about what should happen. You just follow the cold, hard logic line by line. It's really how you begin to build that crucial mental compiler we talked about earlier. You start to internalize how the machine thinks.
Okay, so a dry run is our informal mental check. But what happens when a bug is really stubborn? The informal check isn't cutting it. Is there a more rigorous, systematic way to do this manual tracing?
Absolutely. Yeah. When you need to take that dry run to the next level of precision, that's when you turn to trace tables.
Your trace tables. Okay, sounds more formal.
It is. Think of them as a highly structured, formalized evolution of the dry run. Their main purpose is to systematically record the state of variables and what each line of code is doing, turn by turn.
It's like keeping a detailed log.
Exactly. This meticulous record helps you pinpoint exactly where a program deviates from its expected values. It really narrows down the precise location of a logic error. It's all about documenting the internal state of your program as it executes, revealing any unexpected shifts in data with almost forensic detail.
Forensic detail, I like that. So how do you actually use one effectively? Are there steps?
Yeah, it helps to think in maybe three main phases. First, you prepare. This means really understanding the code's objective for what is it supposed to achieve.
Right, the goal.
And you establish the purpose of each variable or data structure you're going to track. What does num represent? What is count supposed to be counting? Having that clarity up front is crucial. Otherwise, the table doesn't mean much.
Okay, prepare first.
Second, you simulate and record. This is the core of it. You literally step through the code line by line, just like a dry run. But, and this is key, every single time a variable's content changes or an important condition is checked, you note its new value in your trace table.
Every single change.
Every change could be a new number, a different piece of text, the result of a check like, is X greater than Y? You write it down in the correct column for that variable or condition.
Got it. Simulate and record. What's the third phase?
And finally, you verify and refine. This is especially important when you hit loops or complex IF statements, things like that. You continuously check the loop exit conditions. Is the loop actually running the correct number of times? Are the conditions for your IF statements evaluating the way you expect them to?
Yeah.
If you're inside a loop, you assess that exit condition, and then, if you're still looping, you repeat the simulation phase, step two. And always remember that any values you've stored or changed will directly affect the next steps in the program's execution.
Right, the state carries over.
Exactly. It's that meticulous, almost obsessive recording that reveals the cracks where the logic might be failing.
Okay, theory makes sense, but maybe walking through an example would help make it really concrete.
Good idea. Let's take some pseudocode. Imagine the objective is to allocate pupils to different classes based on their exam scores.
Okay, common task.
Right. So the code involves a loop that iterates through an array, let's call it scores. And inside the loop, there's an IFELS, IF and if structure to assign them to classes, maybe Isley, Spey, or Moray, based on score thresholds.
Okay, got that tissue.
So let's say we have an array of scores, like 55, 64, 75, 81, 57, 47, and the program sets up thresholds. Maybe Isley class starts at a score of 50, Spey at 60, and Moray at 70.
Right.
The program then loops through each score. Inside the loop, it first checks, say, AF scores counter is a threshold, then set class counter to Isley. Then there are LCF statements for the Spey and Moray thresholds.
Makes sense. Higher score, different class.
Now, when you actually run a trace table on this specific example, meticulously recording the variable counter, the scores counter, the result of each IF or LCSE check, and the final class counter assigned, you quickly see a problem.
Okay. What does the table show?
While the trace table might indicate that the selection condition is, and I'm quoting here from typical examples, not working as expected, as it is assigning ILA for every class, regardless of score.
Wait, even for the score of 75 or 81, those should clearly be in Spey or Moray, right?
Exactly. That's where the unexpected output, clearly documented in the table, reveals the flaw. The trace table pinpoints the logic error.
So, what is the error in this case? Why is it always assigning ILA?
Well, based on how the logic was likely written, that example, the table reveals, this is due to the first IF statement always being met. If the threshold for Isley is 50 and the first check is just AFF score equals 50, then assign Isley.
Ah, I see. If the score is, say, 75, that's greater than 50, so it assigns Isley.
And then, because of how ILSE if structures work, it completely skips the ELSE F checks for Spey and Marais. It's already found a condition that's true.
So the order of the checks was wrong, or maybe the conditions needed to be more specific, like checking ranges?
Precisely. The logic needed refinement. Maybe check for the highest threshold first, it's 70, then the next equals 60, then the lowest equals 50, or use compound conditions. But the point is, the trace table made that flaw undeniable. It showed exactly where the program took an unexpected turn.
That's the aha moment right
Oh.
there. You see exactly what the computer's doing step by step versus what you thought it would do. It's a brilliant way to visually and meticulously confront the problem.
It truly is. You're essentially stepping into the machine's shoes, but with a notepad to keep track of everything.
But you mentioned meticulous obsessive. Sounds like it could take a while.
Oh, definitely. It's crucial to add that caveat. While incredibly effective, trace tables are, as the source material often points out, massively time-consuming.
Okay, so not your everyday tool.
Right. This isn't something you'd typically use for every minor bug you encounter. They should primarily be reserved for those situations where simpler dry runs or maybe other less formal methods have failed to identify the source of an error.
So when you're really stuck.
Exactly. Think of them as your heavy-duty diagnostic tool. You bring them out for those truly stubborn logic bugs that have resisted lighter investigation. They're indispensable for complex algorithms, really intricate loops, or just those times when you cannot get your head around why a variable holds an unexpected value halfway through your code.
And that connects back to efficiency, doesn't it? It might seem tedious doing the trace table,
Right.
but preventing a deep-seated logic error from getting into later stages, or even into deployed software, must save way more time and money in the long run.
Absolutely. It's an investment in accuracy up front. It prevents those huge, costly fixes down the line. It really is about peace of mind,
Makes
ultimately.
sense.
And, you know, while we focused on these manual, hands-on approaches because they really build understanding, it's worth briefly mentioning that modern programming environments do offer more automated debugging tools as well.
Ah, right. Like the tools built into coding software.
Exactly. For instance, breakpoints are incredibly useful. They let you tell the program, pause execution right here at this specific line of code.
And then you can look around.
Yep. When the program halts, you can then inspect the contents of all your variables, see what values they hold at that exact moment in time. It's like freezing time inside your program.
Okay, that sounds powerful.
It is. And similarly, you have things called watch points. These can halt the program's execution whenever a particular variable's value changes. So if you suspect a variable is being altered unexpectedly, you can set a watch point on it.
Ah, so it catches the culprit in the act.
Pretty much. These automated tools are definitely powerful complements to the manual methods we've discussed. They offer speed and convenience.
This raises an interesting question, though. While automated tools like breakpoints are clearly efficient for quickly checking variable states, what deeper understanding do you think manual dry runs and trace tables provide? Is there something lost when it's all automated?
That's a really crucial point. You've hit on something important there.
Yeah.
Automated tools are fantastic at giving you the what. They show you precisely what value a variable holds at a certain point or where an error occurred. They're like an X-ray, right? Showing you exactly where the bone is broken.
Okay, I see that.
But a trace table, or even a thorough dry run, that's more like becoming the bone itself, feeling every stress, every strain, understanding the mechanics of how it broke. Manual tracing forces you into the how and the why.
The process, not just the result.
Exactly. It's like the difference between seeing a map of a city and actually walking every single street yourself. Only by walking it, by tracing that path manually, do you truly build that deep mental model, that intuition for its shortcuts, its dead ends, its bottlenecks.
And that intuition is valuable beyond just fixing one bug.
Immensely valuable. It's what makes you a truly great problem solver, not just a bug fixer. You learn not just to fix the specific bug, but to anticipate and avoid an entire class of similar bugs in the future. It genuinely, sort of rewires your brain to think more like the machine actually operates.
That's a really powerful distinction. Okay, so let's recap then. Dry runs are kind of our quick informal checks. A mental walkthrough, pencil and paper maybe, spot the obvious issues, get that initial feel for the code's flow.
Right. your first pass.
Trace tables, on the other hand, are the meticulous error pinpointing deep dives, systematically recording every step, every variable change to really uncover those hidden, stubborn logic errors.
The heavy-duty option for the tough bugs.
But both techniques,
yeah,
ultimately force you to truly get inside the mind of your program, to understand its execution path with, like you said, almost surgical precision.
Exactly. So what does this all mean for you, the listener, the learner?
Hmm.
Well, the seemingly tedious process of manually tracing code isn't just about finding bugs today. It's really about building a deeper, more ingrained intuition for how your code truly behaves, even before you run it.
Building that mental compiler.
Precisely. It cultivates a certain precision in your thinking, a robust mental model that automated tools, while incredibly useful and efficient, don't necessarily foster on their own to the same depth. So maybe the thought to leave you with is, what unexpected insights might you uncover by actually slowing down, grabbing that pencil and paper, and really thinking like the machine?